We have been looking at presenting our bodies a living holy sacrifice, and something that has been becoming more and more clear to me is that we are molded in the arena, not in the theater. Oftentimes we want to view the Christian life from the outside, and yet that's not where the molding takes place. Until we actually enter into the fray, the molding is not there. We can be changed sitting in the theater. We can go see movies and different things, and we get bombarded with enough garbage, we'll be changed into that garbage. That will happen. But I'm talking about transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Next week is International Atheist Day, next Sunday. Yeah, April 1st. Okay, takes a while to figure that out. April Fool's Day, they have their own holiday, okay, that's just set aside for them. I find it interesting there are no atheists in foxholes. It just doesn't happen. There aren't a lot of them, really, in the schools when it comes test time. People realize that there is indeed a God. And the issue for us is to be changed. Dan Hawkins, most of you know Dan, and they are in the arena at Glen Haven. Those of you that have been there know that. It is a pressure cooker with its own set of pressures, and they change daily. We all have our own pressure cookers that we face, and we can either react to them or we can respond. The little thing I read at the end of the first session, Nudge the Balance, is what it is called. And it basically is saying how people treat you, we can respond negatively to that, or we can choose to learn from it. And we can also resolve not to treat other people the same way we have been treated. And in that comes the molding that is done. That's a big part of what they do. They go through a molding themselves, and then they help to bring about molding in young people's lives. And so the ministry at Glen Haven is important. It is significant. The biggest problem with it is it's not big enough. It's just not big enough. And Dan's going to tell us about what has been going on. It's been quite a while since we've heard from him. Quentin's had a couple of heart attacks and a stroke, and Dan's been filling in the blanks a lot of times and stuff, and we've just kind of missed each other. So Dan's going to bring us up to date on what all's going on, because they're actually maxed out right now with the kids they've got and the staff they've got, and they need prayers. They need more help. They need about everything you could imagine. But God always keeps us in that position, doesn't he? Saying, I can't do this, so that he can do it for us. So I'm going to let Dan tell you about what the Lord is doing through Glen Haven.
Years that we spent here were a wonderful time, and the time when we got the building up front and we worked on that together, and we came together as a family, and that was some wonderful times for us. And just to come and see this and what you all have done, this is really amazing. And I'll tell you what, you can go in there, and when you look at the urinals and somebody flushes, they don't bubble. We had a little plumbing problem, I think, I left you all with when I left. So I just want to thank you all so much for your support and prayers for the ranch. I know a lot of you all are involved with the ranch still today. And those of you who don't know much about the ranch, I'm going to try to cover a little bit about the ranch. And then those of you who do know the ranch rather well, and I know some here have served at the ranch, I want to show some slides and just show you a kind of an update on what's going on. Glen Haven is a facility for children at risk. It's a long-term residential facility. We're not a clinical environment. We're not a lockdown facility. We're simply a place where we have children come in who are hurt, who are angry, who are dealing with the pressures of the culture around them, and we try to give them a loving, supportive environment to live in. And it ranges from kids that come from loving Christian homes to children who come from broken homes and or who don't have any parents at all and just have a guardian or a grandmother trying to take care of them. So really we cover a wide spectrum. With us not being clinical, we don't take kids who have serious mental issues. But, you know, in today's world, it's easy to stick a label on a kid and give them a medication and say, that's your problem, this will fix you. And really, they're missing the whole boat. And so hopefully I'll talk a little bit about that as we go through these slides. Glen Haven was named after Glenn Cunningham. He was an Olympian, I think in the 36 Olympics, 32 Olympics. A little before my time, but not yours, right, Drew?
No, I watched it.
You watched that?
Live on the radio, I
watched it. But Glenn and his wife Ruth cared for children for many, many years and were instrumental in the ranch getting started. And it started with Jody Brown and Brian Elmore in 1984, and this is some of the kids they started with years ago. This is today. Well, actually, it was a few months ago, but this is Ben Swafford, Quentin's son, with some of our boys. Glen Haven is located on Highway 7. We're halfway between Russellville and Hot Springs on Scenic 7 in Arkansas. So it's a real pretty place to be. We're surrounded by the Wachita Forest, so we're a little isolated. You can see the little valley we're in there, and our campus there is in the center. This is the gate as you're coming down into the ranch. And this is some of the cattle that are grazing, and the white fence, it really looks like a ranch today. Whereas before, it was a ranch, but it didn't have the look of the ranch, and now it has the look of the ranch. It really hasn't changed anything, but it hasn't changed a bit as far as how we operate, but it does have some of those things that make you feel like you're out on it. 60% of all children in the United States do not live with both birth parents, and that's growing. And the kids that we are seeing today, they are being bombarded by the culture today. And so these kids really deal with things that we had no clue of when we were growing up. We didn't have any of the experiences that kids today have. And so it's a tough world out there. And when we bring them to the ranch, we're able to insulate them from the world. We don't try to isolate them, but we try to insulate them from some of that stuff that's out there that is affecting them so greatly. Quentin and his wife Beverly, Quentin's executive director, and then myself and my wife and my son AJ, and then Greg and Gina Pitts, a lot of you know, and Dwayne and Karen Webb and his family. Dwayne just got back. I think you all been praying for Dwayne. He's been in the hospital for 3 weeks. He got home Thursday afternoons doing well, and we're just praying that his plumbing keeps working. He's had some complications. He had a very bad car accident about 20 years ago, and so it's affected some of his digestive system over the years with scar tissue and whatnot. And so he's had some real difficulty with that, but he's had surgery and we're hoping that he's going to be on the mend. Scooter McCamey, the director of ranch operations, his wife Becky, and then Candy, our cook, and she does everything. She's all over the ranch. And then Carl, he's a former resident of the ranch and is there on staff as a resident instructor. Then we have some young ladies, Anita Grody, she's from the church in Fredericksburg, and Chris, she's my sister-in-law, and she's Quentin and Mai's assistant in the office. And then Jenny, she is from Tulsa, and she's a resident instructor with the girls. We have these new faces. This is Amos and Meredith, and they are teachers. Tanya in the center, she's a resident instructor at the girls' ranch. And then Jeff and Leanne, and Leanne and Meredith are sisters. And they worked at Rawhide up in Wisconsin, which is a youth home up there. And so they brought some experience to the ranch. Are we going to click? And then we have full-time retirees. John and Marge are still alive and well and working at the ranch. John works over in the wood shop, and Marge tutors the boys. And then Rick and Dee Patton on the right. And Jim and Norma Lewis on the left. Jim is a blacksmith, and he runs our vocational training and trains the boys in welding and blacksmith. Some of our board members. James 1:27, pure and undefiled worship in the sight of our God and Father is this: to look after the orphans and the widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Again, getting away from that worldly influence. These are the three resident homes that we have on the main campus, which is 150 acres. And then we have another facility that's 4 miles through the woods called Hidden Valley, and I'll show you those in a minute. Here we're licensed for 30 beds, and we have 17 boys right now. We used to keep a lot more boys per house, but today with the difficulties some of these young people are facing, it takes a lot more attention, a lot more one-on-one, and we're just not able to have as many kids as we used to. It just takes more staff. I know with Rawhide, the facility I mentioned a little while ago, their staff to student ratio is 4-1. And we're a little over 1-1. We're about 1 1/3 to 1. And we're all stretched and doing all that we can. But and we are looking for a few more boys. We'd like to have about 20 boys. And we have several that we're looking at right now. But that's going to be about the max that we can deal with until we get some more staff. And we're always looking for house parents. So I was... Okay, let me see where I'm at. I know. I'm trying to roll the button. There we go. Okay, the Brown House. Scott and Christina Monowai are the house parents, and their son TJ, who is now in the military, has gone to the Army, and Selah, their daughter. And these are some of the boys that live in their house. I don't know if you recognize that guy in the upper right-hand corner or not. He's our resident celebrity here today. Glad you showed up, Chris. And some of the other boys that are in the house. And then Gene and Joyce Fiacconi, they're up in the blue house, and some of their boys. And they look totally thrilled, as you can tell. They just don't like pictures. We try to take pictures when they're not expecting it, and they are smiling. They smile a lot. But when they know they're getting a picture taken, they don't want to cooperate. There we go. And the Gray House, Jim and Rosemary Smith, they came to us last summer. They went through training in the fall. Jim is 77 years old, so you're never too old to be a house parent. His wife, Rosemary, I believe she's 69, and they came to us in way of Village Bible Church in Hot Springs Village, and that's the boys that they have. They have had Mason living with him. Mason is a young man that's been with us 4.5 years, and he's moved into independent living, just like Chris has. And Mason just recently moved out of their house, as we've had three new boys come into their house. And they had them all within a period of 8 days. They got three boys. So they were, but they'd been ready. They were ready. They had been asking for boys, and we were praying that the Lord would bring us the right boys. Ben and Mary Swafford, Quentin's son, they're still house parents. They house parented at the Gray House until last summer, and then they retired from that and moved into, we call it retirement from house parenting. If you've been a house parent, you know. But they were actually house parents at two different times, a total of 6 years. They're now on the administrative staff. Ben is the ranch foreman, and Mary is a receptionist in the office, and their son Billy, and the resident they have with them is little Dan. And they live right next door to us, so we have them in and out of our house all the time, and little Dan is just a riot. He's done extremely well at the ranch. He's been at the ranch about a year and a half, almost 2 years, and he's now going to public school. He was able to work through the pain and the things that he had that he was dealing with, and he's doing really well in public school. We've got a great elementary school in Perryville. All the teachers are Christian, and it's almost like sending them to a Christian school. And then, of course, we have several of our moms, like Karen Webb, who's very involved in the school and up at the school all the time. I don't know if I could say that about the high school, but the elementary school is a great school. There's Mason on the left, and Chris, you guys came one day apart, I think, didn't you? Weren't you guys?
I think it was 5 days before I was.
Okay.
I was 2 days before Colorado, and he was
about. And if you didn't know it, I'm sure you all know it. It was in the newsletter, but Chris reached Eagle, which is the highest position. Yeah, let's give him a... There's There has only been two other eagles in the 23 years of the ranch. So it's a very significant achievement. It's the highest ranking, and of course Chris has privileges and has had privileges for quite some time because he has done so well. We've been hoping that example would rub off on Mason, and we're still working with Mason, trying to help Mason. Chris gets to spend a lot of time with Mason, so he understands. He's trying to help him. This is our approach. It's a seven-phase approach. We look at the spiritual life. We're a strength-based approach. We have on-campus education, which kind of sets us apart from other homes. A lot of homes use a public school for all of their children. We have work training. We have a strong family and home environment. We're a working ranch with horses and cows. And we have equine therapy, which is new, which I'll tell you about. The spiritual life, this is at one of our chapel services, and you might see down in lower left-hand corner, you might recognize John Cunningham. He is the son of Gene Cunningham, Glenn Cunningham, and they were house parents up until about 2 years ago. They live nearby, and they volunteer at the ranch. His wife comes about 3 days a week, so they're still real involved with the ranch. We're hoping we might get them back one of these days. We've been kind of throwing it out there, and he hadn't been just saying no, so we're going to see where the Lord takes that. And then Scott, he helps with our music. He's Hawaiian, by the way, and so the kids have got to learn a little bit about the Hawaiian culture, which has been real interesting. Strength-based approach, we look for the strength in a child and we build upon it. That's simple. That's all that means. There's nothing fancy about it. We just try to find what their strengths are and build upon that so they can work through things. And you see the Colorado trip there and auto mechanics, auto maintenance. We have a basketball court and a guy. This is an old picture up here. The boys still play football, but that barn behind is not there anymore. We used to have three large chicken barns, and they have all slowly kind of faded away into the sunset. We just have a portion of one that still looks like a chicken barn. This is when they were building the Votek Center. Upper right-hand corner is about when they were finished with it. I guess we finished that last year, where we have vocational training. Horses is a big part of what the ranch is. That's why our new logo has a horse in it, because they are really instrumental in what we do there. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a minute. I must not be holding my tongue right. There we go. We still do the Colorado hiking trip every year. Dwayne leads that out, and last year it was a 9-day hike. And we had an interesting time. My son and I both got sick just as we were leaving for the trip and had upper respiratory infections. Didn't make all that. We made it up a little ways, but the guys went on up. It was good that it kind of happened, because we ended up playing ambulance service, because the kids would get up there, and we had some come down with rashes and different things to deal with. We'd take them to the doctor and then send them back up the mountain. And so it was a wonderful trip, though. It was one of the best we've ever had because of the challenges. Everybody came together as a team, and it was a really good experience. Well, yeah, that was a picture, that previous picture, and I can't get back to it. There we go. Well, thank you, Seth. That picture right there is at a little over 13,000 feet, so that's where they hike up to, and they make sure that they make that every trip, regardless of which route they go. They try to make it up there. This is this trip just this last year, so you can see the pretty heavy packs, probably 50, 60 pounds, maybe 70, unless you carry theological books like one boy tried to do one year. And it wasn't long before we kind of spread those out amongst people because it was too much for him. We have an on-school campus education program. What it is, it's a homeschool curriculum. It's a Christian homeschool curriculum, and we teach it in a classroom setting. Our kids are tested twice a year by the Perryville Public School System, and our kids test out higher than they do in the public school. And when our kids come to the ranch, they come typically a year and a half, 2 years behind academically. And we can usually make that jump and get them caught up in the first year, year and a half of their stay. This is some of our teachers with the young men. This is the lower right-hand corner is the girls' classroom, and the upper left-hand corner is the computer lab. This was all donated by Perryville School System. Under Title I, they're required to provide us with equipment, and they do a very good job of taking care of us and provide us with desks, with computers, with TV monitors, all kinds of equipment. This is our library. Work training. We do work training. There's always something going on at the ranch. The ranch has been, of those of you who have been on the ranch, you know, the ranch started basically with not much. And for all these years, it's just been a building experience. And the boys have always been a part of that. And it's interesting to, when boys drop in to visit, they see the changes, but they also know who were instrumental in those changes, because they know when they were there, the projects that they did. So they're always, it's always interesting for boys to come back and see what's been done at the ranch, because it just changes so quickly. I'm hoping I can show you some slides today that will kind of give you an idea of how it's changed. This was one of the chicken barns. This is one of the last chicken barns we tore down. And that's rare. You see Quentin standing and watching. He usually doesn't do that. He's usually right down in the middle of it. I think this was shortly after his stroke. We do our own haying. The boys get out there. We do two cuttings a year, and so we produce all of our own hay for our cattle and horses. We do a cattle roundup each year, and we run them from one side of the ranch to the other side of the ranch. And this year we did it with horses. Well, we attempted to do it with horses. Didn't quite work out, but we ended up resulting to four-wheelers because the horses were faster than the cows were faster than the horses, and we had to chase them down out of the woods. But in any event, you wouldn't think cows would be faster than horses, but they were that day. This is a typical work day project here. This is a typically family home environment. These are some older slides, as you see how young Candy looks, but I'm glad she's not here to hear that. But I wouldn't get served food for a week if she heard me say that. But each house has a large table, and they all come around for a family meal. So we try to make it as much of a Christian traditional family environment as we can. And then we go last year I think we had three outings at the lake that people in the village put on for us, and we're able to take the boys and have a day at the lake. This is one of Lori's things that she brought along to the ranch. She's kind of the social director at the ranch. And this is an ice cream eating contest, as you can see. And a couple of kids are getting a little help. They're getting their heads shoved down into it. So it's always fun. And then, of course, the water balloon. They had to walk away. He's partnered up. That was just a picture of Henry, one of our boys. He had won third place in our chili cook-off. We do a big chili cook-off every year where the kids make chili and it's a competition, and they win, and he won third place. And that was monumental for Henry, because he was so challenged when he came to the ranch, and he is, there's that word challenge again. Got to watch that. I'm glad he didn't cover mental challenge, because then people would see what they're watching today. But anyway, Henry is doing very well at the ranch, and that's his house mom, Joyce, and then, of course, Scooter in the background. Working ranch, we have horses and cows, and when the mama won't take the calf, then the boys have to help out and feed the calf. And that happens every once in a while. Here's the process we go through when we're herding them through from one end of the ranch to the other. We run them through our pens so we can warm them and give them the shots that they need. Now, this is something new. This is the old horse barn down here in the corner, which was a converted chicken barn. And this is our new horse barn. And it started with a gift. And what happened was God just multiplied it, and he brought all these things together until it's today. It is a top-notch facility, as you can see. Two-thirds of the lumber in this building was donated by Deltic Timber. We had churches that donated things. The door hardware, one whole side was donated. The other side was sold to us at cost. Just incredible the way God brought this whole project together, because we had wanted to elevate our program to the next level up, because we wanted to use it in therapy, which I'll cover in a second. Every morning the boys go down, they feed, and take care of the horses, and in the afternoons they go back and muck out the stalls. So, Chris, you've got to miss a little bit of that now that you've been... Yeah, he goes to school awfully early in the morning. He has about a 35, 40-minute drive to school. This is one of our girls, and she's over there. They all participate in taking care of the horses. We have a barn competition where they're scored on how they take care of the barn and the horses. And each month, one of the houses will win the trophy. This month, the Hidden Valley shared it with the Gray House. And at that time, Mason was the only resident at the Gray House, which was just a month ago. There's little Dan and Ben with one of the horses. One of the boys with the horses. Our tack room. That's a volunteer that comes up from the Hot Springs Village. She works with the horses and works with some of the staff kids. Our riding arena. That last picture was of our riding arena. This is where we do equine therapy. This is a group session right here. That's it. It's 100 by 200 feet long, and it's got a sand base. And that's where we do our general riding, and then we do our equine therapy. This is a group session where we have multiple residents out there, and they work with the horses. Basically, a horse will mimic what's going on in the heart of a child. If a child comes to the arena and the child is angry, the horse is going to be a little angry, a little defiant. If they come and they're hurting, then the horse is going to respond to that and is going to love on the child. If the child comes and the child is acting real silly and goofy, the horses act goofy and silly. They really mimic what's going on in the soul of the kid. And what we do is we actually basically put a single child in most times. Once a month we do group sessions, but usually what happens through the week is one child is put in arena with three horses and they're given a task, and it's usually like an obstacle course or something. They have to go through the arena with the horse and accomplish something, like lead a horse through an obstacle course without touching the horse. And we don't give them any advice or any counsel on how to do that. So depending on what's going on in them, it directly affects how that horse responds. And so they start trying to get that horse to cooperate and do what they want it to do, and yet sometimes that horse won't cooperate. And so what the child has to do is start problem solving, has to draw upon things that child has experienced in their own life, and by doing that, it brings some of this stuff to the surface. It just gives us a platform that we can reach these kids, that it brings this stuff up. We can help them work through some of the things that they've experienced in their own life. So that's what I tell people. It works. You know, horses, there's nothing magical about them other than they're a wonderful creation of God, and we use them as a tool in order to reach these kids. And this whole therapy actually is just nothing more than a means of being able to reach into a child's heart and help them with what they're dealing with. These are our round pens. This is where groundwork is done with the child. The child will go in with a horse and do ground activity with the horse. That way they just learn more about horses and how to handle them, and they become more confident in working with them. The ball field, we finally have a ball field for those that have been at the ranch and we never had one. A church in Hot Springs Village helped us put this in, and we use it for softball and soccer and flag football. We have a new rec building now. This was while it was under construction. A youth group from Washington State came during their spring break last year, and they called and they said, "We want to do something big." And we said, "Well, we need a rec building," and because our old rec building was turned into classroom space, and we'd been without one for about 3 years. And so they raised the funds to put up the shell, and they came up, and we'd poured the slab prior to them arriving, and then they helped us construct the shell. This is some of that group. And this is where it's at today. We had another church donate the front deck that's on the front of that. And we're working on the inside. We're hoping that we'll have it completed by the end of this summer. This is the office, what it looks like today. Oh, that jumped. This is our VOTEC Center that we saw earlier. In that, we have an auto lift for auto repair, we have a welding shop, and we have a machine shop. And so Jim trains the boys in welding and machine shop, and then we have a mechanic that comes in once a week that works with the boys in auto repair. And that's all part of the school curriculum. There's the lift. This is a school building number two. This is the one that used to be our rec building, for those of you who've been there a long time ago. It's now classroom space, and it also houses our computer lab. This is the auditorium. We had a church donate these pews about a year ago. But this is where we do our chapel once a week. And then when we bring all of the kids together, boys and girls, for our drama class and our music class, they use this room. Other than that, the boys and girls are separated for their classes. We have a fire station. We have six certified firefighters on Glen Haven staff now. This has deeply reduced our insurance cost, cut it in half, actually. And we have also two first responders. And so now not only is that protection for the ranch, but we also help serve the community. And we respond to a lot of accidents and grass fires along Highway 7. And that's a fire truck that was donated to us from another fire department who got a new truck. And we were tickled to death because you should have seen the truck we had before this one. It was a 1957 or 58 Chevrolet. We had to push it to the fire. It was that kind of... So it's kind of like the Keystone Cops. So anyway, we've got a fire truck that works now. This is Hidden Valley. Down below is Shiloh Valley, which is the main campus, and then Hidden Valley, the girls' ranch, which is actually where Glen Haven all started 23 years ago. And today it's now... Hidden Valley Girls' Ranch. And that's Bill and Cindy Tucker, along with Quentin and Anita. That was taken back last year before we received girls. We were fortunate enough that they moved in January, and we didn't take girls until August. So they were able to go through a lot of months of training and preparation, and they're sure glad they got it. Because we have three girls, which we're now looking for more girls, but we have three girls, and they're as much work as the boys we have, all of the boys we have. This is Bill and Cindy Tucker. They're our house parents and managers for the girls' ranch. And then their two daughters that came on staff shortly after they got here. They came last summer, and they help us teach. There's a shot of all the girls there that we have, the three girls and the two resident instructors. And now Tanya is a resident instructor. Anita has moved over to the office. She's the girl on the left. She's moved over to the office now and helps do weekend duty, relief house parenting, because the house parents do get one weekend off a month, and the RIs, they get a weekend off per month too, so she helps fill that void. Well, let's see if we can go back one. Thank you, Seth. This is the inside of the lodge, which those of you who were there 23 years ago would have seen brush, debris, rats, animals of all kinds. It was just completely gutted out. And now today it serves as a home for these girls. This is the bunkhouse. It's just across the yard from the lodge. This is where Bill and Cindy reside. Typically they're there in the morning when the girls get up for breakfast and send them off to school. They're there when they come home, and they're usually with them till about 9 o'clock at night, when the girls are dismissed to their rooms with their RIs to go to bed, and Bill and Cindy are able to go over to their house. So that way we don't have a man in the house overnight, but we still have the two resident instructors, the young women, who help care for the girls through the night. This is a horse barn that we're building over at Hidden Valley, a church. This is one of the Hot Springs Village Church's projects. This is so we can take horses over to Hidden Valley. We have a group coming this week. In fact, they arrive tonight, and they're going to be putting fence up around about a 15-acre pasture we have there where we're going to keep the three horses. How far apart? The two ranches? 4 miles through the woods, 7 miles by road. And believe it or not, the boys have already found it. One of the boys, Hidden Valley is on Brush Creek Road. And in one of the boys' rooms was a Brush Creek Road sign. Road sign. I say, gee, how'd you get that? Oh, I don't know. I just found it. Well, you would have had to found it over there on Brush Creek Road. They didn't find Hidden Valley, though. Hidden Valley, they could have found the main road, but Hidden Valley is still secluded and back down a road that you go back into to get down in there. But we have to be on our toes. They could be 100 miles apart and it wouldn't matter. It's more of the fence and barn that's going up. Church groups, like I mentioned, we have church groups. We have 2 to 3 groups a year. Come at spring break, they come during the summer, and that's how we get all these things done. If it wasn't for them, this group up here in the upper left-hand corner came in for 5 days. They're from Ohio, and they came 3 years ago. They came for 5 days, and they put up a quarter mile of wood fence, and they raised all the funds for the fence, and it was a group of 40, not all of them are in that picture, but they put up the post and a railing and put 2 coats of paint on it in 5 days. So it's just incredible. Now, this is more fence that we have that we've added over the years. As you can see, it's back around the barns and the ball field. This is on route to staff housing, and here it's already time to repaint. It just doesn't take any time for a fence to weather and have to be repainted. Some of the work by the firehouse and horse barn, putting up fence. We couldn't do what we do without your all's prayer support and the volunteers that come out to the ranch and work. They blend in with our staff. You wouldn't know volunteers from staff because they work so hard there. They work on construction projects, maintenance. Some of them help tutor the kids. Some help teach drama. It's just amazing what these seniors from Hot Springs Village come up and do for the ranch. They do all kinds of projects. All these years, we've never had storage in our houses much other than just closets, and we've never had any garages or no storage buildings. And this year, we've had a group building storage buildings for our houses, so we have a place to put our junk. But that is Glen Haven Youth Ranch, and as you see our new logo, we had an organization help us develop that. And because horses are so much a part, we have 14 horses on the ranch, and the kids really are involved with the horses. And it's been a wonderful, I know I was talking with Sharon, and years ago, horses were more trouble than they were worth. They were getting into all kinds of things. So we didn't have any fences, and didn't have any fences for the cows. I've heard all kinds of stories about a cow showing up on a porch, you know, and getting into the trash and all of that. And now today we have all these fences. I may have just a few pictures. I want to show you pictures of some of our current boys. This is Clay. He comes from Louisiana. Todd, he comes from Little Rock. Christian, he comes from Benton. I think that was Chris. Yes, that's Chris. Got a little hair there. About ready for a haircut there, weren't you? We never have to worry about Chris. He likes his short. Michael, Joe, Little Dan, Mark, he's from Ohio, Chase, Mason, DJ, Henry, Scotty, Jessica, Brittany, Amy. And that's an old shot from a few years ago of some of the kids and staff. I will tell you one thing that I didn't cover in all of that because I was trying to get through this. I didn't want to keep you all late. But our approach is relational, not behavioral. A lot of facilities like ours really take a behavioral approach. They try to, when the young people come, they try to control the behavior, try to teach the kid discipline. And we really take a little bit different approach. We try to establish a relationship with the child. We feel like that's the best method of being able to reach the child. You establish a relationship, build a trust, and then the child is going to begin to start listening to you. And why that doesn't work in the home is just because of past experiences. It's hard to really stop and break free of the past and be able to switch gears with the child and be able to have that relationship. So what we do is we kind of offer parents a break, and that allows the child to come to our facility. We have that relationship. We build that trust. We help them work through what they're dealing with, and then we try to reunite them with their family. And they're sometimes they're reunited with their family, and they still reside at the ranch. Some of them go back home, We do require a minimum of 1 year stay. On average, they stay about 2.5 years, but we do have some that have stayed for over 4 or 5 years. So, but relational is what we really try to strive for, of having that relationship with the child. Is there any questions?
Is there a lake on the ranch?
We have a pond, a good-sized pond.
Is there a lake close by?
Yes.
Away.
To the north. Mm-hmm. Lake Nimrod. Hidden Valley is actually real close to the lake. It's probably 300-400 yards from the lake. So it's right on the south portion of the lake. Any other questions? I feel like I kind of jumped over things. Yes?
How's Quentin doing?
Quentin is doing real well. He thanks you all for the prayers of getting him through that tough time with his stroke a year ago, November. He still doesn't have any feeling on his left side, which is challenging, but he is able to swallow. You know, for 3 months he was on a feeding tube. But he's able to swallow with some degree of difficulty. But he's really cut back on his hours. He's cut back from, well, now he works about a 10-hour day, 6 days a week, or 5.5 days a week, instead of the 12 to 14 hours, 7 days a week. Because he really did work a lot of hours, and he still does. And we try to slow him down, but he just won't do it. But he's doing really well. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am.
How, you say you're looking for more girls. What do you do to look for girls?
Good question. They come through referrals, through churches, pastors. We do get some referrals through social workers, probation officers, court placements. We have a few court placements. We don't take any state or federal funding, so we can select the children that we feel like fits with what we do. Some facilities take that money, and it really handicaps them because they have to take whatever child the state sends to them. So we're really blessed that we have the support of churches and individuals that give us the freedom to be able to work with the kids, because it's really like a jigsaw puzzle. When we interview a child, we look at what the child's dealing with, we look at his personality, and we see if we can help him where he's at or her at, and then also how they'll fit in with the rest of the ranch. But we get a lot of private placements as well. We don't take any felons. We take kids that, like I say, just are beginning to have problems at home or have gone to the extreme of getting into some kind of legal trouble but have not been convicted. We don't take seriously addicted kids to drugs or alcohol. We don't have the facilities for that. So we kind of have a little niche that we focus on. We do outsource our therapy. We have a counselor, Christian counselor, that comes to the ranch once a week and helps some of our new kids that are coming to the ranch that have some severe problems. We do deal with sexual abuse a lot more today than ever before. We have not looked at one file on a girl, and we've looked at a lot of applicants since last August that did not have sexual abuse. And a lot of the boys, we have about a third of our boys that have sexual abuse in their background. So it's, in fact, we have staff training every other week for 2 hours, and a lot of our focus is looking that direction because we're seeing so much of it. It's rampant in our country today. Anything else? Yes, ma'am. Interstate 40. We are south of 40, 45 miles. And then we're 4 miles down a dirt road off of Highway 7. So we're just about halfway between Russellville and Hot Springs. And an hour due west of Little Rock, if you need a bigger town to kind of gauge that by. Don't have any problems with the runaways. Out in the middle of nowhere. It happens, though, doesn't it, Chris? We had a couple of guys try to do it over Christmas. And it happens about every three to four years. And I'll tell you why it doesn't happen more often of that is because all the boys learn the lessons of those boys' experiences when they did it. Because there's nowhere to go. I mean, we're out in the middle of nowhere. And they'll go, if they leave at night, and they always leave at night, they always go in the wintertime. And they end up sleeping under a bridge, which these last two guys did. And they end up always giving up. They gave up. We found these guys. Staff, we call the sheriff immediately, and we go through all that process. We send them pictures of the boys. They put out an all-points bulletin. But it's always our staff that find them because they give up about 3 miles up the road. Once they make it to Scenic 7, they start going up Ola Mountain or going towards Perryville, and they give up.
They've gone through about 8 miles, and they quit.
Yeah. The 4 mile of... Yeah, it really is. And we know the places to go, so... And then they come back and tell the stories to all the boys, and then so it's you know, it's something we don't have to worry about for 3 years. And then it's 3-4 years, then we start getting some new kids in.
Don't you have a bear that shows up every now and then?
Well, we tell bear stories a lot. That helps. Our girls are terrified. And we have had 3 bear sightings in 23 years is what I've told. I've never seen one. Did you? You've seen one? Well, see, Sharon's our evidence. She's our witness. She's seen one. Well, good. I'll refer to you by name when next time I have to tell that story. But it is really a wonderful ministry. Drew said, our goal is to be able to have 50 boys at that ranch at some point and expand our girls' facility. We just now have the staff in place. We've really struggled the last 3 years with staff, but God has really blessed us and brought us a wonderful staff. We still all wear 3 or 4 hats apiece. Just because you're doing one thing doesn't mean you're not doing others. So the staff is stretched, and we all have to take breaks and try to get away and recharge our batteries. That's why I'm a little all over the place today. I'm ready for a break. After lunch, I'm on vacation. So if I seemed a little distracted or kind of jumping all over that place, because my mind's already starting to think about a few days rest. You know, we get on average somewhere between 3 to 5 calls. It's increased since we have the girls' ranch. We are now working on the data. We've got Jim Smith, the 77-year-old house dad. He's a computer programmer, of all things. Who would have thought a 77-year-old would be a software programmer? And so he's writing a program where we can put all this information in, and so I can give a little bit harder statistics. Because we are starting to venture out and try to go after some foundations. I get some grant money. We need a gymnasium for the kids, and we need some more classroom space. So we're going to be working on that over the next year. I hope, hopefully next year I can come and show you some pictures of a gymnasium. Yes, sir.
In 23 years, you've dealt with a lot of kids. How did you follow up, and what's the status of some kids that were there 18 years ago?
Candy is the one person who takes care of that. She... some of the kids will call house parents, and even house parents that aren't at the ranch anymore. Brian and Laura Elmore still get phone calls from their kids. And then they usually call the ranch and let us know, hey, I talked to so-and-so, and this is what's going on with them. That's one of the things with our software. We want to be able to track these kids a little bit better as far as they come. But we know based on the amount of callbacks we get and finding out what's going on in their lives that we're somewhere around 70 or 80% success rate. And you say, well, what, how do you gauge success? It's really difficult. But we count it as somebody who is a functioning part of society, hopefully living a Christian life. And a lot of our kids that do. We only know of, I think Quentin says he only knows of one child that left the ranch that he was pretty sure was not a believer. All the rest of them usually accept Christ before they leave. So we know we have a real good success rate with that. And if they don't, we hope and pray that we've planted the seeds that God the Holy Spirit will bring somebody else along and we'll harvest those seeds. But did I answer all that question? My mind's already starting to slip. There wasn't much there to begin with, as some of y'all who know me. Anything else? Well, I want to thank you all so much for your support of the ranch. We invite you all to come anytime. We'd love to have you. Love to have you as staff. If God's leading you to be house parents, we'd love to see you. But just thank you all so much for being a part of the ministry and partnering with us. Thank you.